a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Now this ain't my message, but I do want to say this. The Bible says there was a great multitude in this place. But Jesus wasn't focused on the great multitude. He was focused on the certain man. Say, why is that so important? Because I know everybody else got problems too. But I want you to understand that the Lord is a personal Savior. He's not just for all them. He's for you. Listen to what your Bible says. And when Jesus, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to back up and look at verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. I want to preach to you for just a little while this morning on this thought. I have no man. I have no man. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach the word of God. I pray you would empower me to do that this morning. Embolden me, Lord. Encourage me. Lord, give me what I need to be able to give them what they need, Lord. It's not about me, Lord, but you have decided to use this vessel this morning. So I pray, God, that you would do it to the fullest extent of ability, Lord. And even beyond that, in your power, I pray you would touch hearts and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You be seated. I have no man. Now, let me set this up for you here by showing you the issue that this man had. This man that we are investigating this morning had some serious problems. Not only was he described as an impotent man, he was described as a man with an infirmity. He was described as a man that had a problem that caused him to be bound in a bed so that he could not get up. Are you listening to me? Not only that, but this had been going on for 38 years. This guy had some serious problems. Not only did he have some serious problems, but he had some serious problems that looked like there wasn't nobody had the ability to fix. This thing had been going on. I want you to think about this for a minute. I don't know if he had spent 38 years sitting there in that one spot, or if he had just spent 38 years laying there in that bed. But for 38 years, if you're over 38 years old in this room, I want you to raise your hand. Over 38 years old. If you're under 38 years old, raise your hand. Longer than we've all been alive. Don't you think about all the life you've lived in your time. Longer than that, this man has been bound by an infirmity, a sickness, a problem. You know what an infirmity is? It's a problem that requires healing. It's something that hurts you. Something that causes you harm. Something that causes you to not be able to do with your body what your body is designed and intended to do. Something that is causing your life to be less of quality than it should be because you cannot do the things that you're supposed to be able to do. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Many times in the case of an infirmity is also something that will eventually shorten the length of your lifespan considerably. You say, preacher, why are you talking about this infirmity? It's because I see many people every day of my life living in the world that we're living in that are dealing with the same kind of infirmity. I'm talking about something that holds them back. Something that binds them up. Something that keeps them from doing what they're intended to do. Something that harms them physically, mentally, spiritually. Something that probably will shorten their lifespan significantly, and that is the infirmity of the condition of sin. Many people spend their entire lives laying around in the bed of their sin, bound by all the things that are holding them back. You say, what are they waiting for? Preacher, the same thing this guy was waiting for. They're waiting for the magic cure. They're waiting for something to show up that's going to all of a sudden fix all their problems. This man, somehow in his time of infirmity, you got to understand that this man most likely didn't start where he was at the pool of Bethesda. Now let me give you a little background. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me talk a little bit about this. Now this pool of Bethesda, if you really want to get into the historical context, what it says here in John was that at a certain season, there was an angel that would come down and trouble the water, and the first person to get in the water after that happened would get healed of whatever their infirmity is. Now, if you go and read some of the historians and the historical accounts, there's a little bit of a controversy there based on whether or not what kind of angel this was, essentially. There's nobody saying that this type of thing wasn't going on. It's more a question of how was it happening and what was really going on here. There was an idea that this angel, so-called, was some kind of witchcraft that was going on, and somebody had put in that place so that he could somehow make a money off of it or whatever. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound that far-fetched. No, I agree with you right there. But not only that, maybe even if it was exactly the way that this man thought it was. I want you to think about this. Here's the position he was in. There was a place that he could theoretically get healing. It had never healed him, but he had heard that it had healed others. And so somehow in his infirmity, over the course of this 38 years section of time, this man had positioned himself right next to something that he thought was going to be able to give him help. But the problem was, he never could get to the thing that was supposedly going to help him. Because to get in the pool required abilities that he didn't have. He couldn't get up and walk into the pool. He couldn't roll over and jump into the pool. He couldn't wiggle himself over into the water. He needed something that he didn't have access to. Can I tell y'all something? This is how the world will do you. The world will allow you to get so close to, just so close to what you think is going to be the answer to all of your problems, that you'll spend your entire life chasing after something that you cannot attain to because you never had the ability to get to it in the first place. The world will tell you, if you'll just do this a little bit more, if you'll just go a little bit further, the world will tell you, if you just drink one more, you'll be happy. But see, the problem is, you don't have what in you, what it takes to be happy. You're missing something. The world will tell you, if you just work one more hour, all them bills will get paid. Y'all with me? The problem is, you've put yourself in a situation that was never designed for you to succeed. The world will tell you, if you just put yourself out there a little bit more, the magic cure is right around the corner. That's where this man was living at. Man, he was right on the edge of something that he truly and honestly believed could fix his problems. But even if it could, he couldn't get in. He didn't have what it took to get the job done. How many people in this world sit around their whole life waiting for something, waiting for a redemption that's never going to come from this world? They've gotten to a point, many have gotten to a point where I believe they have accepted their condition and are probably no longer even looking for a cure. This man had hunkered himself down in a place where he thought he could get some help, but obviously help had not come, and he had been there so long that he had completely lost help. He had lost hope that help would ever come. When Jesus asked him, "Why don't you get up and walk?" He said, "I have no man. I got nobody that to get me in the pool. Do you not understand?" Listen, sometimes we read into our Bible emotions that are not necessarily the way it would have been. We read it like he was happy to have this conversation. But I got to put myself in his shoes and realize when Jesus walked by and said, "Hey, son, won't you get up off of that bed?" He probably said something like this: "Are you not seeing what's going on here? I don't have no man. I don't have the help. I don't have what it takes to get up from here. I'll give up. There ain't nothing I can do." There are multitudes that have resigned themselves to the fact that they will never find a cure for their condition. That's the issue, folks. But then I want you to see the illusion that this man was under. You see, this man was suffering from a severe misconception about what it was that he needed. The problem was not really the problem. The problem was the solution. He understood the problem. I'm laying here, can't get up. I'm sick with this infirmity and I got to lay right here and I can't get up. I can't walk. I can't do nothing. He understood the problem. He understood how bad the situation was, but he had a severe misunderstanding of what the solution to the problem was. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Everybody looks like they real sleepy this morning. I get it. But just go with me right here. I believe the Lord will give you some help. Listen, he had the impression that if he stayed there long enough, that one day a day would come when some person would come by with enough compassion to allow him to get into the thing that he thought was going to cure his problems. He really believed that if I just lay here long enough, if I just keep doing what I'm doing long enough, somebody is going to come by and fix this thing. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Somebody's going to get me into this pool. Notice that the Bible says that this pool, the waters would be troubled at a certain season. Clearly, this was not the season. So when Jesus came by, that didn't mean much to him. Even if Jesus was the one that wanted to help him, he'd come by at the wrong time. He really thought in his mind, "I'm going to just keep laying here. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and eventually the external circumstances will change and somebody will fix my problems." Are y'all listening to me this morning? How many times do we find ourselves in that exact situation? How many people in this world are living in that exact situation? Listen, if I just keep doing the same thing that I've been doing for all this time, then at some point, something that I can't control is going to change and fix all my problems. I can prove it to you. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I can prove it to you. Millions of dollars. I don't know where North Carolina ranks on the scale of poverty, but we ain't the richest state in the Union. Y'all understand that? We're more in the lower part of the list. But every year in North Carolina, millions, probably billions of dollars get spent on lottery tickets. I know people right now that spend, I'm talking about a large percentage of their paycheck every week for years. You know why they do that? Because they think that one day this is going to fix my problem. One day they're going to draw my number. Did you know that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result? You know what you're going to do next week? You know what's going to happen to your lottery ticket next week, friend? You're going to lose. You said, "Preacher, you don't know that. You can't win it if you ain't in it." Hear me out right here. Virtually nobody on earth has ever won the lottery. You understand that? What? How many lottery winners do you think we've had in the history of the North Carolina lottery? I'm talking about jackpot winners. What, maybe 15, 20 at the most?
out of all the people and all the years and all the tickets that have been bought in the state of North Carolina, you know what that tells me? Nobody wins the lottery. And he had, listen, you ain't going to win it. So what are you getting at? But you just going to keep buying them, though. Because you really think that's what's going to fix your problem. Just like this man. You know what was going to happen to him? He won't get in that pool. You understand? It was not going to happen. Yet there he sat. Year after year. Season after season. Time after time.
But he made one of the truest statements that has ever been made in verse number 7.
Here's what he says. When Jesus asked him, "Sir, wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to get better? I want to pose that question to you this morning. Do you want to get better? Jesus asked him, "Do you want things to be better for you, sir?" And here's what the man responded. "I have no man. I have no man."
What a truth he declared, and he didn't even realize it.
The truth is, he most certainly didn't have a man. He didn't have anybody that was able, and he didn't have anybody that was willing.
He didn't have anybody that wanted to help, and he didn't have anybody that had the power to help. And I'm here to echo that to you today. Listen to me. If you don't get nothing outside this message, hear what I'm about to say. I walked in here this morning to tell you, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your troubles are. I don't know what your struggles and your fights and your trials that you're dealing with. I don't know what's coming against you. I don't know what your sick bed looks like. What you've been rolling around in for the last 30 years and trying to, hoping that it would change. But I came in here to tell you this morning, and whatever the problem is, I have no man that can fix your problem. There is nothing in and of this world that is going to cure your ailments or your problems. There's no medication. There's no psychotherapy. There's no talk show on TV. No book you're going to read. No life coach. No fixer-upper that's going to fix your problems. Because what you need, friend, is not a Band-Aid fix. It is an eternal solution. Because even if a man was to come along and make your life better on this earth, even if they were to draw your numbers next week and you was to cash in that $1 billion check, it wouldn't fix your problems. All it would do was make your life different on this earth. But still you have the same problem that I have, and that is, at one day somebody's going to be standing over your casket. I have no man. Church, I can't save you. You understand? The preacher on TV can't save you. The banker can't save you. The boss man can't save you. See, we're living under an illusion that the solution to our problems is temporal.
It's something that we can attain to. It's something that is going to come walking by one day. The solution to our problems is some kind of strong force that has ability to do what we can't do of this world. That's an illusion, friend. There is no man. There is no human being that can do what you need done.
The issue that this man had kept him bound for 38 years. He had no control over it. The illusion that he had was that the solution was in the water in the pool, in the thing that he could see. But then I want you to see the intervention. All of a sudden, in John chapter 5, something drastically changed in this man's situation.
How many times, think about this. How many times do you think somebody had walked by this man, struck up a conversation, and given him what they thought to be a solution to his problem?
How many remedies do you think this man had fielded? Y'all ever have a health issue, and you don't even want to tell nobody about it because you really don't want to hear what they say you should do to fix it? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, you got to ice it, you got to heat it, you got to warm it, you got to poke it, you got to stretch it, you got to eat a jar of horseradish, drink a bottle of honey, hang upside down and gargle vinegar. I mean, you know, we've got a million different remedies. I mean, listen, no more clear picture of this than when COVID come out. Lord, I mean, we was taking everything. You got to take elderberry. Y'all take the elderberry this morning. I'm talking about drink sea moss juice. I've done it. Oh, yeah. If you ain't never eat a spoonful of sea moss gel, you don't even know what it feels like to do something stupid. I mean, listen, we got to take wormer. I mean, look, it worked. We got to take this shot, that shot. They was bringing shots over from Africa that they was shooting in the youngins that had all kind of diverse diseases over there. Try this, try that. We had everybody said, well, if you do this, you'll be all right. Hey, lay on your back, lay on your stomach, stand up, sit down, run laps, don't walk, don't breathe, don't move. How many people do you think had come by and told this man, just try to wiggle your toes a little bit and see if you can get them muscles warmed up, and then maybe you can do a little something. Why don't you try taking this medicine? How about that? How many snake oil salesmen you think come by and said, I've got an elixir for you that'll fix all your problems? The fixer elixir, $10 a piece. It'll fix everything wrong with you. How many people do you think come by and said, well, if you just go to my doctor over there at Duke Hospital, he can fix it right up for you. If you just go to my specialist over here, are y'all listening to me? Take this medicine, take that medicine. How many pills you reckon this man had took in his life? How many remedies you think he had gone through, yet there he laid? I know how he feels.
Friday was 10 years. Friday was my 10th birthday. 10 years since the day I got saved. And I remember before that day, my wife's sitting right here in this room, and she's going to agree with what I'm fixing to say. I had something in me that was missing that caused me all types of issues. A void, if you will. An infirmity. And I tried everything to fill that void. I mean, I tried all kind of remedies. Are y'all alive this morning?
Amen.
I mean, I thought if I just drank the right amount. Y'all, those of you that have really struggled with alcohol understand what I'm fixing to say. It was never about if I can just get drunk one more time or if I can just drink some more. If I could just drink that exact right amount, that's going to make me feel the way I want to feel. And you know what always happened? I always felt that for a moment, and it was fleeting, and then I went past it. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. If I could just get my mind numbed just the right amount. If I could just make just the right amount of money. If I could just... I'll tell you what, I used to think stuff like this. If I could just figure out how to make my wife like me. What about this? If I could just figure out how to make her stay. I tried everything, bud. I tried being nice. I tried being mean. I tried being smart. I tried playing dumb. I tried quitting, starting, stopping, and everything in between. I know where this man was living. You know how many people told me what I needed to do to fix all my problems? Just do this, just do that. Just talk, just say this, just say that.
Go here, go there. But Jesus didn't offer any remedies. Jesus didn't offer him any medications or any doctors.
He didn't offer him any advice. He didn't tell him about the thing that he heard about on the message group on Facebook. You know what he said to him? This is amazing. This is how you know you're dealing with somebody that ain't like everybody else. This is what he said to him. He looked at him and he said, "Get up." He asked the man, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to get better?" And the man started giving him excuses. "Well, you don't understand. Yeah, I want to get better, but the only way I can do that is to get in this pool, and I have no man. There's nobody going to fix this for me. I can't get nobody to help me with this thing. I can't get no assistance on this." And Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. Get up.
Verse number 8, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." It was at this moment that this man began to realize that he was no longer dealing with an ordinary man. He was dealing with something that was much more powerful. He had come face to face with the great physician, with the Redeemer, with the God of glory. He had come face to face with the Messiah. And all of a sudden, his entire condition began to change. I don't know what it was that chewed him up. Because the first time I
started studying this, I thought to myself, if I was that man laying in that position, I would have been offended by what Jesus said. And when he said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," I said, "Don't you think I've been wanting to do that for 38 years? But he must have felt something. Because he didn't argue. Jesus said, "Get up." And all of a sudden, something felt different. He probably couldn't put his finger on it. He probably couldn't explain it. I remember November 10th, 2013, 10 years ago, last Friday. I remember I can take you to the place in Rex Edwards' office sitting in a chair. I can feel the little beads on the side of the chair where they put the material on it. I can feel what it felt like to be in that place. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't understand what's going on right here. I don't understand what this means. I ain't got it all figured out. But man, something feels different. Something has changed. Changed in this moment. All of a sudden, something changed.
I came to tell you this morning a real simple truth. I have no man that can cure your ails. I have no man that can give you what you need. But I've got a God that has the answer to all your problems. I've got a God that has no limitation.
There ain't nothing holding him back.
He's not bound by any earthly problems. And he can take the life of sin that you've been wallowing around in for years and years and years. He can take the life that you have ruined and destroyed and cast aside and decided that it was no longer of any value and would never be anything good again. And he can turn it into something that is useful and amazing and powerful and wonderful. He can turn a life that is of no value into a life that is of value to the King of Kings. He can transform it into something new. See, what you need is not to turn over a new leaf. It's to become a new person.
Christian, some of you have been wallowing around in mess for years. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you've got access to something greater than any man. I can't fix your problems, but He can. I like the way the old song says it. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it whole again, but I know a man who can. Hallelujah. I can't take a soul that's sin sick and wash it white as snow, but I know a man who can. Some call Him Savior, the Redeemer of all men, but I call Him Jesus because He's my dearest friend. Hunter's coming to the piano. I don't know what you came in here looking for this morning. But I know who's got it. I want you to stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.